What was Dr. Seuss's favorite breakfast food?
I don't know. What?
Green eggs and ham.
Kids Public Radio.
One bite.
What if I puke?
It's alright. Open your horizons.
How do I know it ain't poison?
Oh, they're tasty. Just trust me.
They look disgusting.
Meet the Vegans with Sam I Am. You're listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone. I'm here at the Outpost Performance Space and on Zoom with a whole lot of great people. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
And who's with us today?
Hi, it's Thorfinn.
What's up? It's Nico.
Hello, it's Asa.
Hi, it's Max.
Hello, it's Amadeus.
Hey, it's Nina.
Hi, it's Lucas D.
Hi, it's Kybia.
Hi, it's Killian.
Hi, it's Daniel.
Hi, it's Amaya.
Hello, it's Marcel.
I'm pretty excited to be with you today because we're going to be celebrating one of my favorite authors of all time. His name is Dr. Seuss. Anyone else here a big Dr. Seuss fan?
Oh, yes. Sure, yeah.
Name me some books that you love.
The Cat in the Hat.
Horton Hears a Who.
I also really like that one.
All the Places You'll Go.
Oh, I love that one.
Green Eggs and Ham.
Oobleck.
The Grinch.
The Cat in the Hat Comes Back. The sequel up to The Cat in the Hat that no one knows about yet I've read.
Those are some of the best, and we're going to learn even more with Brian J. Jones. He's written a biography about Dr. Seuss, plus we've got Dr. Seuss music and so much more. But first, this is Mike Rayburn. Follow along online at childrenshour.org. Look for Dr. Seuss.
Green eggs and ham.
do not like them, Sam, I am. I would not, could not, in a box, I would not, could not, with a fox. Green eggs and ham, green eggs and ham, green eggs, Sam, I am.
Theodore Seuss Geisel, widely known by his pen name Dr. Seuss, was born on March 2, 1904 in Springfield, Massachusetts. A prolific writer, poet, and cartoonist, he became famous for his imaginative children's books, many of which were published under the names Dr. Seuss and Theo LeSig, which was his last name spelled backward. Over his lifetime, Geisel wrote and illustrated 46 children's books, including many beloved children's classics like Green Eggs and Ham, The Cat in the Hat, and How the Grinch Stole Christmas. His whimsical stories, rhythmic writing, and inventive characters have inspired generations of young readers. His work extended beyond books. Many of his stories were adapted into television specials, movies, Broadway productions, and even animated series. Geisel also contributed to advertising campaigns and served as a political cartoonist for PM, a New York City newspaper. During World War II, he worked for the U.S. Army's Animation Department, co-writing Design for Death, a documentary that later won an Academy Award in 1947. Following the war, Geisel and his wife relocated to La Jolla, California, where he continued his literary career. Some of his most celebrated works come from this period, and they include If I Ran the Zoo, Horton Hears a Who, The Cat in the Hat, I Had Trouble in Getting to Sala Salu, and many more. Despite receiving numerous accolades, Geisel never won the Caldecott or Newbery medals. Although he dedicated his life to creating stories for children, he never had any of his own. When asked about this, he would often quip, "You have them, I'll entertain them." Theodore Seuss Geisel, Dr. Seuss, passed away in 1991 at the age of 87, but his legacy lives on through his stories and their enduring impact on children's literature. Today on the Children's Hour, we're going to celebrate and honor the legendary Dr. Seuss. This is Miss Sherling.
It's the wild, zany, wacky, brainy world of Dr. Seuss, where crazy, kooky images and characters are loose. Oh, the places you'll go. Oh, the things you'll think. Sit back, have fun, enjoy the ride. Don't let your brain be extinct. You too can swim in the river Wahoo if you've made it to the beautiful town of Sala Salu. Have you ever sung in the Valley of Ung or been to the Villa of Who? Have you ever flipped your lid? It's the wild, zany, wacky, brainy world of Dr. Seuss, where crazy, kooky images and characters are loose. Oh, the places you'll go. Oh, the things you'll think. Sit back, have fun, enjoy the ride. Don't let your brain become extinct. Isn't Dr. Seuss just so amazing? harmless and entertaining. There's the Cat in the Hat, that crazy Lorax. The Grinch who stole Christmas, the birthday Hong Konger, Thing 1 and 2. Gerald McBoing Boing, General Genghis Khan Schmitz, Max the Dog, Yertle the Turtle, Horton and the Who's, Bartholomew Cubbins, Daisy and Maisie and JoJo, the Great Birthday Bird, Conrad and Sally and the Wonsler. It's the wild, zany, wacky, brainy world of Dr. Seuss, where crazy, kooky images and characters are loose. Oh, the places you'll go. Oh, the things you'll think. Sit back, have fun, enjoy the ride. Don't let your brain become extinct.
You're listening to The Children's Hour. Our guest is Brian J. Jones. He's a New York Times bestselling biographer of many great people, and we have links put up at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Dr. Seuss. But his most recent book is Becoming Dr. Seuss, Theodor Geisel and the Making of an American Imagination. Welcome to the Children's Hour, Brian J. Jones.
Thank you. It's so great to see all of you here.
How did Dr. Seuss first become interested in drawing?
So Seuss had been drawing his entire life from the time he was a little kid. He had an unusual art style, but he drew on through elementary school. When he was in high school, he would draw for the newspaper and he would draw cartoons. And that continued on through college. There was sort of a almost like a Mad magazine. There was a comedy magazine at the college that he went to that he would draw for. But the important moment comes along when he is at school in England and he's taking notes in his notebook, and he would really rather be doing anything other than be taking notes. And that notebook is just filled with drawings. And there was a young woman sitting next to him named Helen who said, you know, somebody like you who's doing all those drawings, what are you doing in this class? Like, why do you want to be an English teacher? You should be drawing for a living. He ended up marrying her. She's the one that really inspired him to like try to make a living as an artist. He really starts out that way, submitting cartoons to a lot of the magazines and does very well with that. But really got in because the woman sitting next to him said, God, those drawings, they don't look like anything else. What are you doing here? You should try to draw for a living.
Why did he change his name? I know he was originally called Theodor Geisel, and then at one point he used the pen name Theo Lessig, and then Dr. Seuss. Like, why did he do that?
So, first of all, Lessig, if you notice, is the name Geisel spelled backwards. Yeah. So that's a name he would write under sometimes. When he first started drawing cartoons, he would sign his real name. But when he was in college, he started sort of playing around with different names. At one point, he signs a cartoon Louis Pasteur, which is a famous scientist. And at one point, just signed a cartoon Seuss. Now, the other thing you have to remember is he's German. Seuss is actually pronounced Zeuss in German. But Seuss said that he liked that people thought of it as Seuss because it put him close to Mother Goose. So when you're saying Seuss, you're saying it correctly. But the German pronunciation is actually Zeuss. But he would sign the cartoon Seuss. And then later on, when he was submitting cartoons for the magazine, he submitted a cartoon that he wanted people to take it very seriously. He was being very funny, but he was trying to sound like he was very smart. So the way you make yourself sound very smart is you sign yourself Dr. Seuss, not just Seuss. So that was the first time he ever put the word doctor in front of his name, and he must have really liked it because he never stopped using it after that.
What inspired Dr. Seuss to start writing children's material?
The first book he decided he wanted to write was the book that became And to Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street. He was riding on a boat, and that was the sound the motor made, was that ba-da-dun, da-da-dun, da-da, that very regular rhythm inspired him to take on that rhythm for Mulberry Street. But up until that time, he was primarily drawing cartoons for Bug Spray and things like that. Very, very good at it, but hadn't really written any kids' books, but got inspired to do it because someone else had asked him to illustrate a book they were working on, and he thought, wow, that's really great. I would like to do more of these. That first book was just kind of him doing it because he hadn't done it before. Seuss really didn't hit it big until he was in his 50s. Before that, he was writing books for children that were selling okay, but he had to work a day job. He was still doing advertising and like doing little fixes in movies and trying to do things like that. But he finally hits it big in 1957 when he's 53 years old with The Cat in the Hat. That becomes his first big book. And that's when he sort of becomes, that's why I called the book Becoming Dr. Seuss, because that's sort of the moment he can start doing children's books full time. With Cat in the Hat, one of the reasons that book is so iconic and so huge and that people still read it is because it had done something that no children's book had done before. When he was writing that book, he was writing it for classrooms, for books they would put in front of you guys in the class to teach you how to read. And Seuss at that point said, the books you're handing to kids in the classrooms are so boring. No one wants to read them. And so somebody told Seuss, well, you should write one, but because this is going to be in a classroom, you have to use words that teachers say you can use. So you can't just write anything. You have what they call an educator-approved word list. And it's about 300 to 400 words. So Seuss, when he was writing Cat in the Hat, it took him a while because he had to work within the limits of that word list. But when he did, teachers loved it because they could put that in the classroom in front of students and say, this is a vocabulary book. You're actually learning how to read. Believe it or not, Seuss had a mission with this. And more than anything else, parents loved reading it with their kids. And that's what makes that book so important. That's how he becomes an icon, is because everybody wanted to read it, not just the kids, not just the teachers, everybody.
You're listening to the Children's Hour. Our guest is Brian J. Jones. He's written a biography on Dr. Seuss called Becoming Dr. Seuss, Theodore Geisel, and the Making of an American Imagination. Today on the Children's Hour, we're learning about the extraordinary life of Dr. Seuss. Stick with us.
Oh, be kind to your small person friends, every who may be somebody's mother. To every who on every speck, any one of them may likely be a brother. Oh, be kind to your small person friends, as we float around from one place to another. Remember, no matter how small, that a person is a person is a person is a person, that a person is a person after all.
To let out gusty, lusty notes. It's good for people, frogs and goats, to open up and sing.
It's good for tongues and necks and knees of people, bees and chimpanzees.
So if by chance you're one of these, open up, open up and sing.
From the original movie soundtrack of The Lorax, you're hearing the Truffle of Valley Fantasy. Let Us All Sing is from the Dr. Seuss Presents The Cat in the Hat Songbook. And the Seussettes from Songs from Dr. Seuss gave us Be Kind to Your Small Person Friends. We're learning about Dr. Seuss today on the Children's Hour. You can learn more with us at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Dr. Seuss.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
The Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico-based educational nonprofit that is supported by listeners just like you. You can learn how you can help make Kids Public Radio at childrenshour.org. New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science supports the Children's Hour and is proud to unveil a new hall featuring hundreds of never-before-seen fossils. Learn more at nmnaturalhistory.org.